Thank you, Lewis, and good morning, everyone. It is really is a beautiful day today. We are enjoying the feast in a land of milk and honey. You just go to the local grocery store and you just see an abundance in our grocery stores here. Just everything imaginable and plenty of it. All kinds of choices. So hopefully everyone here at the feast gets enough to eat. There is an abundance in this country. But according to the United States Department of Agriculture estimates, 1 in 7 people in the world go to bed hungry every day. 1 in 7. That is a very sobering statistic. It's very, very concerning. Now, during this past spring, I became somewhat concerned about the food supply here in the United States. We would hear reports of a terrible drought in Texas and Oklahoma and Kansas, the main area where our wheat is grown in the United States. And then in Pennsylvania, where I'm from, we had the opposite problem. It just would not stop raining. March was very rainy. There was nobody able to do anything in their fields. In April, it just kept raining, raining, raining. They still weren't able to do anything in their fields. Now, corn is the main crop in Pennsylvania, or the biggest crop. And normally, they plant corn between the middle of April and the middle of May. By the end of April, they hadn't planted any corn. First of May, it kept raining. No corn planted. Finally, the second week of May, they were able to get in their fields, plant some corn, and try to make some hay, because hay was ready to be made. And then after that, it rained for the rest of May. By the end of May, maybe 20% of the corn was planted in Pennsylvania, almost no soybeans, and the hay was past maturity, and it needed to be harvested immediately. But June turned out to be a dry month, and the farmers in Pennsylvania were very, very busy and finally got the corn planted. I mean, at the end of May, things really looked bleak. I didn't know if the farmers in our area were going to have a crop this year because, you know, if you don't get it planted by the middle of June, a lot of times it doesn't have enough time to mature. Anyway, they did get it planted, but then it didn't rain in June. And then it didn't rain in July. At least it didn't rain much. So we first had too much rain, then we didn't have enough rain. It just seemed like the timing was really off this year. And then, come September, it just started raining again. And in fact, in Pennsylvania, it rained between 15 and 30 inches, depending on where you were, in the month of September. 15 to 30 inches. Normally we had 3 inches a month. So that just everything was waterlogged. You could not get into the fields, and September is when they make their corn silage. So it ended up they were making their corn silage here in October in Pennsylvania. So it has definitely been a rough crop year in Pennsylvania. Too much rain, not enough rain, timing is off, rains come at the wrong time. We did not have rain in due season. Texas, Oklahoma, and Kansas can also say that they did not have rain in due season this year. But you know, thanks to God's blessing, many parts of our country did have rain in due season, and there should be enough food in our country for another year. This year's wheat crop, they estimate, is down only 9% from what it was last year. Now that's 200 million bushels less. Our crop is about 2 billion bushels this year, which is probably enough to get us through. But 2010 was a record year. It was a record year. So actually 2011, amazingly, is the fifth highest wheat yield ever in the United States, in spite of all the bad weather we had. So that's pretty amazing. But due to government policies, we're not encouraging stocks to be carried over from year to year anymore. So our supply from one year to the next is very short. And actually, our supply of wheat in September was 12% less than it was September of last year. Corn is going to be 34% less than it was last year. That's a big drop in the carryover supply of corn. But soybeans is up 40%. So it does look like we will have enough in the coming year. But you know, this untimely weather, to me, should cause us to sit up and take notice. We live in an uncertain world. And we have been blessed, and we take food in the United States for granted, I think. You know, you don't think about we could be a part of that 1 in 7 that goes to bed hungry. We don't think about that because most of us have never had to worry about that, have never seen anything close to that. But today, I want to talk about one of the blessings of God, and that is rain in due season. Because rain in due season truly is a blessing from God, and we need God's blessing. When was the last time that you thanked God for rain in due season? Now, maybe if you're a farmer, you probably do it a lot, or a gardener. But I think a lot of times we overlook that blessing. God promised this blessing to the Israelites soon after he gave the Ten Commandments at Mount Sinai. He promised to bless them if they would obey, and he promised to curse them if they would not obey. And that is brought out over in the Leviticus 26, the blessings and cursings chapter. Leviticus 26. And these, as I said, was soon after the giving of the Ten Commandments. Leviticus 26 and verse 3. He says, "If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and perform them, then I will give you rain in its season. The land will yield its produce, and the trees of the field will yield their fruit. Your thrashing shall last till the time of vintage, and the vintage shall last till the time of sowing." Notice that the first blessing he mentions is rain in due season. It's the first promised blessing that he gives for obedience. And the way he says this, it indicates a large harvest. Because the thrashing time, it's going to take a long time to thrash when you have a large harvest. It's going to last till they're ready to get the grapes in, which was usually several months later. Then the grape harvest is going to be abundant because that's going to last till they need to get ready to get their fields ready to sow the next year's grain harvest. So there's going to be abundance. There will be plenty to eat when they have rain in due season. Rain in due season is getting rain at the right time. In the planting season, it needs to be dry enough so you can work the ground properly, make a good seed bed, and be able to get your equipment in and out without causing damage to the fields. And, of course, during the grain growing season, timely rains are needed. You know, a nice rain every week to 10 days is just perfect. If you could just get a rain every week to 10 days, that would be perfect. And then at harvest, it is ideal if it is dry during harvest, so you can get the crop in without damage to the crop or the fields again. Too wet at harvest time causes moles. It causes microtoxins, which can be poisonous to the animals that eat them. Sometimes the crops can even rot. It rains so much. But occasionally, the Israelites did have rain in due season. And we see one of those times over here in 2 Chronicles chapter 31. Actually, Mr. McNeely went to this passage yesterday, but I want to cover a little bit different angle of it. 2 Chronicles chapter 31, verse 20. And it says, Hezekiah was a good king. And Hezekiah did throughout all Judah, and he did what was good and right and true before the Lord his God. And in every work that he began in the service of the house of God, in the law and in the commandments to seek God, he did with all his heart, And so he prospered. So Hezekiah was a good leader. He led the people in the right way, and he tried to obey God. He actually commanded the people to tithe and to support the priests and the Levites and to get rid of all these symbols of false worship. Go back to verse 5, pick up the story. And this was talking about the commandments to support the priest. As soon as the commandment was circulated, the children of Israel brought an abundance of the first fruits of grain and wine, oil and honey, and all the produce of the field. And they brought in abundantly the tithe of everything. So to have an abundant tithe, they had to have been blessed abundantly, to have had good crops. So they would have had rain in due season to have had that abundance. Then verse 8, and when Hezekiah and the leaders came and saw the heaps, they actually brought it in such great abundance, there was heaps of food, heaps of grain. They blessed the Lord and his people Israel. And Hezekiah questioned the priests and the Levites concerning the heaps. And Azariah, the chief priest from the house of Zadok, answered him and said, since the people began to bring the offering into the house of the Lord, we have had enough to eat and have plenty left. For the Lord has blessed his people, and what is left is this great abundance. You know, this God had really truly blessed them because they obeyed him. They strove to restore the true worship. They restored to do what God commanded them to do. They tried to obey God's commandments, and God blessed them. He blessed them with rain. One of the blessings, one of them, I'm just focusing on one today, is rain in due season. Unfortunately, the Israelites did not always obey God. Now, when the Israelites were allowed to return to the promised land after they were in captivity, actually the Jews mainly, God had told them to go and rebuild his temple. And he had allowed them to go back. He had a miraculous thing that they were allowed to go back. And they had the sanction of the Persian king, Cyrus, and everything should have worked out for them. But they got caught up in all of their physical things and their physical cares, and they did not rebuild the temple. They did not obey God. They had not. So if we go over to Haggai chapter 1 and verse 7, we see what happened. Haggai chapter 1. Haggai is after Zephaniah and before Zechariah, toward the end of the Old Testament. Haggai chapter 1, verse 7. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Now, their ways were not right at this time. Go up to the mountains and bring wood and build a temple that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified, says the Lord. You looked for much, but indeed it came to little, and you brought it home. I blew it away. Why, says the Lord of hosts? Because of my house that is in ruins, while every one of you runs to his own house. Therefore, the heavens above you withhold the dew, and the earth withholds its fruit. Well, dew and rain both supply moisture for the crops. And he says, for I called a drought on the land and the mountains on the grain, and the new wine and the oil, on whatever the ground brings forth, on men and livestock and all the labor of your hands. So they did not obey him, and God cursed them with not having rain in due season. They had dry weather when they needed rain. God withheld his blessings. So God repeated his promise of rain in due season just before they went into the promised land. That's given over in the other chapter of blessings and cursings. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28. And I'll just read verse 2. Because here again, he has a condition. Deuteronomy 28, verse 2. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. You know, and then in verse 11, it goes through some of the blessings. This time it's not mentioned first, but it's still there. And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods and the fruit of your body and the increase of your livestock and the produce of your ground in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hand. So here again, God promised to them that he would bless them, that if they would obey. And notice he in verse 12 there, he says, he would open to you his good treasure. He calls rain in due season his good treasure. You know, for a farmer or a gardener, that truly is a treasure. It's a wonderful thing to have rain in due season. It's a real treasure, and God calls it his good treasure. Why does he call it his good treasure? Well, Job understood what who made the rain and who controls it. Over in Job chapter 5, verse 10, I just want to read a few scriptures in the book of Job. Job chapter 5 and verse 10. Job's, actually, I'm not sure who's speaking, but it was inspired to say, he gives rain on the earth and sends waters on the fields. Yes, God is the one who gives rain. He sends waters on the fields. Now turn over to chapter 36, verse 27. Job 36, 27. For he draws up drops of water, which distill as rain from the midst, which the clouds drop down and pour abundantly on man. Indeed, can anyone understand the spreading of clouds, the thunder from his canopy? You know, God created the marvelous rain cycle. If you're in school, you learn about the rain cycle. You know, God evaporates, causes it so that as the heat of the sun evaporates water vapor over large bodies of water, and then there's the winds and a jet stream that carry that water vapor, and then it condenses or as drops of water over a lot of times over areas of land, and that's the rain. And God created that amazing rain cycle so that water's continually coming from the ocean. It's not salty anymore, and it falls on the earth where it's needed to grow crops. It is an amazing and wonderful thing, and God created that. But, you know, even our meteorologists, they can understand a lot about it, but they cannot understand enough of it to control it, nor can they accurately even predict it more than sometimes a few hours ahead of time. So it truly is an amazing, wonderful thing that God has created. Chapter 37, verse 6, for he says to the snow, fall on the earth, likewise to the gentle rain and the heavy rain of his strength. God made the snow and the rain, and he can control it. He can control it. Verse 11, and also with moisture he saturates the thick clouds, and he scatters his bright clouds. They swirl about, being turned by his guidance, that they may do whatever he commands them on the face of the whole earth. So God truly does control the weather. I mean, most people of this world would never admit that. But God can. Sometimes he punishes with it, and sometimes he shows his mercy, he shows his love, and he blesses with it. Over in Psalms chapter 147 and verse 8, 147 and verse 8. It says, who covers the heavens with clouds? Who prepares rain for the earth? Who makes grass to grow on the mountains? God does all of that. It is something that we should be thankful for. Here's a song of praise. We should thank God for doing all those things for us. Something we should be thankful for, a blessing that we should be very grateful for, that I think oftentimes we take for granted. What is going to happen in his kingdom? The Bible reveals what is going to happen in his kingdom, and you can imagine, because of the principles we've already covered, they're going to be striving to obey him, they're going to strive to worship him in the right way, they're going to honor him and praise him. Joel chapter 2, verse 23. There's quite a few scriptures that tell us about what's going to happen in the kingdom. In verse Joel 22, Joel chapter 2, verse 23. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. For he has given you the former rain faithfully, and he will cause the rain to come down for you, the latter rain, and the latter rain in the first month. The threshing floors will be full of wheat, and the vats will overflow with new wine and oil. This is what it's going to be in the kingdom. God is going to provide rain at the right time, and there will be an abundance of crops. People will not be hungry. There's going to be plenty for everyone. There's going to be much variety. There's going to be healthy things to eat. Over in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 23. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 23. This is talking about the time when a teacher would come up behind the people and tell them, "This is the way, walk in it." This is the time that the scripture is talking about. That's brought out in verse 21 of Isaiah chapter 30. But I want to go to verse 23, two verses later. Then he will give the rain for your seed with which you sow the ground, and bread of the increase of the earth. It will be fat and plentiful. And that day your cattle will feed in large pastures. Likewise, the oxen and the young donkeys that work the ground will eat cured fodder, which has been winnowed with the shovel and fan. So he's going to give them rain, and there's going to be an abundance. There's going to be increase. And the cattle are going to be fat. And the cattle are fat when the pastures are lush, when pastures have lots of tender grass. And that's when you get rain. Pastures need rain about every week. So you get rain and it just makes it lush. And cured fodder indicates that it was dry at the time of harvest. It was allowed the fodder to dry out and not mold. And it didn't rot. And it's cured. It's like cured hay. When you make hay, you want to have a good dry day to make the hay, to dry it out. So it will keep. It's cured. Over in Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 26, Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 26, I will make them and the places all around my hill a blessing, and I will cause showers to come down in their season. There will be showers of blessing. Then the trees of the field will yield their fruit, and the earth will yield her increase. They shall be safe in the land, and they shall know that I am the Lord. So here again, talking about the time of the kingdom, when Jesus Christ is on the earth, there's going to be showers of blessings. There's going to be prosperity. Verse 29 says, I will raise up for them a garden of renown, and they shall no longer be consumed with hunger in the land. He's going to raise up a garden of renown. There's going to be just wonderful gardens in that world. And there's no longer going to be any hunger. There's no longer going to be people worried about that aspect of their lives. And it's just going to be wonderful to have those blessings of God. And those truly are blessings of God. In that day, you can count on rain in due season because God promises it in the scripture. What will happen, though, if in God's kingdom people refuse to obey God? What's going to happen if they refuse to obey God? Well, one thing they're commanded to do in the kingdom is to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Over in Zechariah chapter 14, Zechariah chapter 14, verse 16, tells us what's going to happen if they don't obey God. And you're probably not surprised. Zechariah chapter 14, verse 16. And it shall come to pass that everyone who is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whichever of the families of the earth do not come up to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, on them there will be no rain. If the family of Egypt will not come up and enter in, they shall have no rain. They shall receive the plague which the Lord strikes the nations who do not come up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And this shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all the nations that do not come up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And the punishment is going to be no rain. They're not going to have rain in due season. And, you know, it's because they don't obey God. You know, God wants to bless. God would want to bless the nation of Egypt. And evidently they're just so hard at it. It just takes this kind of punishment to finally wake them up, and hopefully they will wake up at that point. Not only will there be physical rain in due season in his kingdom, but he compares rain to something else. Over in Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 10. So we can look forward to a kingdom that's going to have rain in due season. But Isaiah chapter 55, verse 10 tells us something else. It compares rain as an analogy. He says, "For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud," which is a wonderful thing, "that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void. It shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I have sent it." So he compares his words to rain. And in that day, there's going to be an abundance of his word. And it's going to be coming down on the earth, and it's going to be causing things to prosper just like physical rain does. But it's going to cause us to prosper spiritually, because his word shows us the right way. It gives us his instruction. He knows what is best. Isaiah chapter 11 verse 9 says that in Christ's kingdom, the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord. The earth is going to be full of the knowledge of the Lord, because he's going to rain down his word just like rain on the earth. Isaiah chapter 2 verse 3 says, "The word of the Lord shall go forth from Jerusalem." This is definitely talking about his kingdom. His word is going to go forth from Jerusalem, but it's going to come down and produce fruit on the earth. So there will be an abundance of his word in the kingdom. And God can send his word just like he sends rain. It is a great blessing. It is even a greater blessing than physical rain. It causes us to grow and to be nourished spiritually. And it can produce abundantly good spiritual fruits. You know, love, peace, the fruits of the Spirit. You know them. But those are the kind of fruits his word will produce, and it's going to rain that on the earth. You know, the understanding of his word is in short supply today. His word is abundant in a way. There's a lot of Bibles around. It's the biggest seller by far. There's a lot of people supposedly trying to teach the Bible. But true understanding of the word is in short supply. During the Middle Ages, even getting written word was very hard. So the Middle Ages, they call it the Dark Ages, because the knowledge of God was almost nil, except for some of the supposedly priests who really didn't understand it either, I don't think. Over in Amos chapter 8, verse 10, Amos chapter 8, verse 10. It says, it says, I will turn your feast into mourning and your songs into lamentation. I will bring sackcloth. Or actually, verse 11 is what I want to read. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread nor a thirst of water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea, and from north to east they shall run to and fro, seeking the word of the Lord, but shall not find it. You know, during the Middle Ages, that was probably definitely true. And it's probably true today in the true understanding of his word. That's why it's so important for us to be preaching the gospel. We have been blessed to have an understanding of his word. And we have a responsibility to share that with the rest of the world. The rest of the world, most of the world does not know about the kingdom of God and about all the great blessings that it's going to bring to this earth. So, there could be even worse coming, a famine of the word before the kingdom comes. We don't know for sure. But anyway, God's Spirit is compared in John chapter 7, verse 37 through 39, to living water. God's Spirit is compared to living water. It says that his Holy Spirit shall flow like rivers of water into and out of those who truly believe in him. And they would be spiritually renewed regularly. Just like rain in due season. So in a spiritual sense, God's Spirit is like rain in due season. And notice over in Joel chapter 2, verse 28. Joel chapter 2, verse 28. He says, and it shall come to pass that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Also on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my Spirit in those days. So he pours out his Spirit eventually on all flesh. And all flesh will eventually have spiritual rain in due season. Imagine what a world is going to be like where there is an abundance of his Spirit for everyone, just flowing like rivers of water, like the song that was sang the other night. Imagine a world with physical lushness and abundance brought on by rain in due season all over the earth. And combine that with an abundance of God's Word and an abundance of his Holy Spirit. Imagine what a world like that is going to be like. Do you want to be a part of that world? It will be a beautiful thing to be a part of that. And we can look forward to that world.